This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dub Nation, it's Terry Stotts. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Dude, do you have something against Terry Stotts?
No.
I didn't even know that was in there. You never play that.
I think I played a Jerry Stackhouse one before.
You did. You played a Stack, yeah.
Yeah, I think I played Terry Stotts before.
Does Terry think that Dibbs' picks stink?
I don't think he recorded one of those.
Oh,
I think he just did the generic, now back to Willard and Dibbs.
So look, so far, I think Dibbs' picks stink.
Is he still 1-2?
1-2.
You?
1-2.
Bay Area, it's Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibbs. Your picks stink.
That's right. Yeah. My guy Stack, who absolutely would not take the slander from Dibbs, ripping North Carolina all week the way he did, telling everybody to take San Diego State plus the points, and then watching San Diego State get blown off the floor by no less than 30 points.
When does a Vandy play? Because Stackhouse, former head coach
right
of Vandy,
there.
Tomorrow, 12:15 against St. Mary's.
Against St. Mary's.
I apologize. It's a Stack, but the most of the Bay Area is going to be against your former employer.
I love the Gales in that game. I actually have the Gales maybe winning two games.
Oh, they're going to beat Bama?
I got St. Mary's putting the fear of God.
Uh-oh.
into them Roll Tides.
Speaking of Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse, the two major changes Steve Kerr made to his coaching staff this past offseason leading into this year. The last time the Warriors majorly shook up their coaching staff, they won the championship.
Hey!
Before the 2021-22 season.
Okay.
Last time they did that.
Well, there you have it. Put all your money on the Warriors to win it all. All right, so we were talking about Jonathan Kuminga. We're talking about the future of the Warriors. The now is what matters. But in the conversation that we're all having, kind of thinking about his standing within the organization and others for that matter, Pods, Moody, whatnot, it's interesting to see this thing put together by Hoop Central about each team's future and how the fan base feels about it. And you had a few different options, from great to good to okay. to then unsure to bad to awful. How do you feel currently about the Warriors' future? So we can take some calls on that. We've been talking to Kuminga as well. We got a game coming up here in just about 2.5 hours. Let's go to Mark in San Jose. Mark, you're on with Willard and Grandy. It's three Marks at once, so go slow. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
What's up?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a point about Jonathan Kuminga. So, in my mind, you know, we've heard this word about the team lately, that we're a team of connectors lately, if you notice that. Everybody is a connector.
Yep.
And I just feel like Kuminga, he's got off-the-charts athleticism, but he's just not that connector that goes with the team. So, more often than not, he would find himself in a half-court isolated offense, and he's just not a good enough ball handler to always be that first or second scoring option. On any given night, with Pods there or Moody, he finds himself being like the third or fourth option. And I think he's just too impatient right now. He's not going to be patient enough to score 10 to 12 points tonight. I think he wants to be the second option right now. So maybe it's just not a good fit.
Interesting, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm not there yet. I don't see a lack of patience from Jonathan. I know there are times when it looks that way. If things aren't falling, like when he's driving, it looks like he's forcing it a little bit. But I think you have to take that circumstantially. Who else is on the court at the time? What's the situation in the game? There are times where they do want Jonathan to break down his defender and go to the hole,
yeah,
and get fouled and get to the line. There are times where they're asking him to do that. Whether or not he does it well on a given night is a different sort of a thing. But, you know, this kind of goes to the philosophy that Steve Kerr has always had, which is you want to let guys be them, put them in their best position to succeed. And so I don't know, man. It feels to me like a lot of people think that Jonathan is stressed and or selfish or somewhere in that realm. I don't see that at this time.
I could see the stress coming. I don't think it's born through selfishness, though. It's born through just the reality of what a situation is. But in terms of, like, connectors, I oftentimes think of, and Steve Kerr would probably, like, vehemently disagree with me on this, and I'm sure he's not listening right now. In fact, he's probably getting ready to talk to the media inside of Chase Center right now. But when I hear Steve Kerr say, oh, well, that guy's a connector, like, not that it's a negative connotation, but the way that I interpret it, Willard, is more like, well, he doesn't have an incredibly high ceiling. Like, he's kind of, his potential is kind of capped at a certain level, but he's a positive basketball player because he's in the right spots, and he's not a negative defender, and he'll pass when it's time to pass, and he'll shoot when it's time to shoot. Like, he makes solid decisions. Like, when I think of a connector, it's not an insult, but it's like, you're kind of only physically capable of doing so many things. The only way for you to be a positive player and for you to stay on the floor,
well,
is to not make bad decisions. Kuminga, on the other hand, is so physically capable of doing so much else.
Right.
And by the way, he's still pretty new to the game of basketball. Like, I'm sure Trayce Jackson-Davis, who you would call, I don't know, kind of like a connector, Pajemski, who you would call a connector, who's been playing basketball his whole life. Like, that sort of thing comes from time. And there's also just some natural ability and feeling and the sense that you have for playing basketball. But for someone like Kuminga, who has all of this raw, untapped potential athleticism and skill, those kinds of players aren't always the best at always making the right decision and feeling the defense and being in the right spot and cutting at the right time and defensively, right? Like, Buddy Hield loses his defender pretty often. The connectors tend to know where they're supposed to be on both sides of the floor. So it's not that a connector is a negative thing. It's that generally being good at that other stuff is the only way you can be on the floor. And Kuminga,
That's never been the way that he's earned playing time. He's earned playing time by just his raw, incredible athleticism, because he can do things on the court that no one else can ever dream of doing.
I can see on our text line right now, 925 just texted in and says, I think it means they have a really high IQ. And I can get where that listener's coming from on that. Like, in other words, when you talk about connectors and all the players you just mentioned, first thought that goes to my mind is, well, what are they trying to connect? It's like, no one would ever call Steph Curry a connector, because no one's asking him to connect anything. He is at one end of what is being connected, right? Draymond Green, a connector? Yeah. Right?
He
Jimmy
connects.
Butler,
yeah.
Connector? Yeah, actually, I think so.
Yeah.
So if you're being asked to be a connector, in some ways, it by definition means you're not the lead dog, because that's the end of the connection.
Yeah.
And when Jonathan plays, he has characteristics of somebody who wants to be on the end of the rope, connected to, not someone who's going to connect someone else. It's why he called Guy Santos a connector.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm going to chase down a rebound, I'm going to grab it from someone else's hands, and then I'm going to hand it to Steph Curry and let him shoot.
I'm going to dive
connector.
On the floor yeah. 8 different times over the course of a game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think what our caller said, Mark, who made a really good point, it kind of brought up what my concern was with not Kuminga necessarily, but with the Warriors before the Jimmy Butler trade and before Kuminga got hurt. It was Kuminga's skill set isn't necessarily complementary to what the Warriors like to do on offense. And Kuminga, not necessarily freelancing, but Kuminga likes the ball in his hands, everyone else kind of get out of the way, I'm going to go one-on-one with my guy, I'm going to get past him with my athleticism, and I'm going to get to the line, or I'm going to dunk on you. And that's not always what the Warriors do. And now when the Warriors have more other bodies to make their offensive style work, Kuminga is kind of left not in the background, but in a situation where he has to find a way to fit in with the others versus the others finding a way to fit in with him.
888-957-9570, Warriors future, Jonathan Kuminga, college basketball everywhere, and getting ready for a Dubs game. Warriors Live is an hour away. Let's go to David in Hercules. Hey, David, thanks for the call. What are you doing?
I'm out here walking my little dog.
What's the dog's name?
Can you hear me? Pepper.
Pepper?
Yeah. No spoiled much.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay. As long as he's got quickness.
Yeah. I believe the Warriors are going to be in good condition, good shape, because of their current ownership. And I also believe that JK will be okay if he trusts those who are the Warriors' hierarchy. Remember this guy nicknamed the Mississippi Missile, who, after they drafted this number 7 guy, the Mississippi Missile said the Warriors will never be relevant again with that draft pick. History speaks for itself. I believe the Warriors will be okay. I believe JK will be okay if he trusts the organization. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, look, David, I think actually it's a really good point, because it traces back to the history of where we've been. And there were moments, according to reports, where Jonathan had lost trust in Steve Kerr and lost trust in the organization. I don't know every single thing that's happened since then, but it certainly looks to me like it got earned back. You know what I mean? I do think we're past that. I do think Jonathan trusts. He's at a point where he also has no choice but to. He got hurt at a bad time. The Warriors started playing really well when he wasn't playing. And so now here we are, and there are 13 games left in this regular season, and then it's going to go where it's going to go. And the bottom line is, Jonathan is not going to get a prolonged chance to show the world that he's a 25-point-per-game knight. But I tell you what he could do. He could still show the world that he makes great, smart plays in the postseason and becomes a glue player on an important important team. And if he does that, the Warriors are going
to
pay him.
Yeah, and as you go back to what you brought up earlier with all the NBA teams and how the fan bases feel about their futures, the Warriors, while they are going to be so much more focused on the here and the now and trying to win this year and trying to win next year and maybe even 2 years from now, it's kind of similar to what John Lynch says every offseason when he's asked about, well, Nick Bosa and asked about Fred Warner and asked about George Kittle and asked about Debo and asked about all these players who are due contract extensions. Same thing for Brock Purdy this year. He says the same line over and over and over again. We're not in the business of letting good players leave.
Yep.
And Kuminga has shown that he can be a good player, but as you laid out, he's also like the face of the future of the Warriors. And even if Willard, say he does nothing spectacular over the rest of the regular season and even into the postseason, and not saying that he won't, but let's just pretend that he doesn't, the Warriors are still going to be highly motivated.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To sign him to an extension, because he at the very least is a quality basketball player. Who knows if he's going to be a future all-star, but the Warriors' potential as a basketball organization is certainly higher with him on the roster versus the alternative, which is to let him walk for nothing.
Simplify it. Is he a good player?
Yes.
Okay, you want him on your team?
Yes,
of
course.
All right, then figure it out from there. You figure it out from there. And if he obviously sees himself as something bigger than that and doesn't doesn't want this situation, then we have a very new conversation. But the Warriors have all of the control here. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're also live today from Splash, the beautiful sports bar, restaurant, and experience right outside Chase Center, Thrive City, and we're having a good time on a big sports day with day one of the Madness Tournament. Let's keep going with the calls, though. Arnell in Hayward next up. Arnell, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a party pooper or to break people's heart, but I don't think JK is the future for the Warriors. I love him as a player. I want him as a teammate, but we got to find somebody who's going to be a game changer. Maybe a Zion Williams, maybe a Wembanyama, something like that. You know, I know it sounds crazy how we're going to get those people, but, you know, Luka is a Laker, where anything can happen.
Well, Arnell, thanks, Arnell. I guess my response to that would be, maybe we need to stop asking if Jonathan Kuminga is the future and simply a part of it. Like, just because Jonathan's on your team doesn't mean you can't go try to acquire some other generational talent going forward. This is part of what I was saying earlier. We've got to stop, at least in this moment, asking ourselves if Jonathan Kuminga is the dude, and simply ask yourself if he's a dude. He doesn't need to be the guy, the future, the anything. He just needs to be Jonathan, and he's a good player, and there's room for him now, and very likely room for him in the future.
I mean, as the future comes, and as more years pass by, like, there's only going to be more room. Like, even Steph and Jimmy Warriors next year. Steph and Jimmy Warriors the next year. Beyond that, and who knows about another year beyond that. But, I mean, Steph's already 37, Jimmy's already 35, Draymond's also 35. Just by nature, even if the roster stays somewhat the same, Kuminga's role is going to grow next year.
Of course.
Kuminga's role is going to be even bigger 2 years from now.
Just
even
stay with healthy Steph, and it'll
yeah,
grow.
Steph, Jimmy, and Dre all on the roster could be exactly the same next year. It won't be, but it could be exactly the same next year, and Kuminga will have a bigger role. It would not be shocking if Kuminga were to start at the beginning of next year. Like, Kuminga's role is going to grow, and to our caller's point, to Arnell's point, there is always going to be an opportunity to go and improve the roster. I don't know about Wembanyama. That's not going to happen. Someone like Zion is interesting. That's a name I threw out there number of times before the trade deadline, but in terms of Kuminga's future, as long as he wants there to be one here, there will be one here.
Absolutely. I think it's all sort of a matter of the perspective that we want to put around it. So this idea of the future, I that's not even a thought in my mind. I being the guy down the road, I don't necessarily see it, but it's also irrelevant right now. Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are both here for two more years at least, and what that means is this organization is not even going to be asking Jonathan Kuminga to put that kind of pressure on himself or be that kind of a contributor for the Warriors. The truth of the matter is, he's an important piece, but that's all he is, just a piece.
And we also don't know what crazy drastic change is going to happen. We said it earlier, the Warriors are this crazy content machine. Something crazy is going to happen again around this team. If I were to tell you 2 months ago, we were about 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. And if I were to tell you 2 months ago, the Warriors on March 20th were 40-29 and 6th in the Western Conference, you would have called me crazy.
Yes, I would have.
If I told you that that's how it happened, you would have said a trade would have been made and it would have been a homer. You might have said maybe it was Kevin Durant or something.
Yep.
But if it, and that probably would have cost you Kuminga. But if I told you that it was Jimmy Butler that was traded for Wiggins and a few other pieces, but Kuminga was still a Warrior, you probably would have told me, well, Kuminga took a leap. Kuminga's right, playing like an all-star,
no
right?
Trade, yeah.
And they did it for the most part without Kuminga, like essentially entirely without Kuminga. So who knows what the future is going to look like? Something that we are not seeing coming could happen, and it probably will happen, and it might change the way that we're thinking about all of this. But yes, yeah, I'm with you from the outside perspective. Like, we don't need, and it's also not fair to the player to attach all these crazy expectations to him. Even if he feels that for himself, that's enough pressure to put on a guy. We don't need to be piling on and saying he's the only way that this team is successful in the future is if Kuminga becomes a star. I couldn't possibly deal with that kind of pressure.
I think the word to avoid is the. It's not a very big word, but that's the word I want to avoid.
The guy.
He's not the guy.
Future.
He's not the future. He's not the anything. The word is shorter than the. It's the letter A. He's a guy. He's a piece of the future. He is a player that they want to keep. He's not the anything. Dave in San Francisco. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hello.
Dave, you with us?
First question. Hey, yeah, can you hear me?
We got you now.
Perfect. So what I'm saying is JK is not going to be the guy. I mean, we've been waiting on him for 4 years already. We are not going to go into the luxury tax and pay him. Dunleavy is playing chess, not checkers. He is going to trade him this summer. That is the big trade piece. They're allowed to pay him the max. And they're going to use those bird rights to bring in a max player that can make a difference these next 2 years. They are all in for now. And I honestly think that they have youngsters that they're going to look towards the future and rather give those keys to them instead of empty calories, Kuminga. That's what I got to say.
Okay, Dave, thanks. I'm fascinated still whenever anyone brings up the idea of a trade because as we've learned a lot about over the last handful of months, very complex.
Trades are hard.
Trades are hard. They're very difficult. Finances all have to match. This idea of another max player means that you are you're asking Joe Lacob to do maybe even non-Joe Lacob things. Like, you're asking him to go crazy into the tax. If you're going to find another max player to pair with Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, that is absolute ludicrous speed in terms of money. So I don't know. I actually see it the other way. I think the Warriors go into this offseason, and a lot depends on what they do in the playoffs or what they don't do in the playoffs, but I see it as they go into the offseason knowing they want difference makers, but they're probably going to have to be difference makers. I don't want to say value players, but difference makers that they can get below the max. And so they may well feel, and Joe Lacob has said this, that Jonathan Kuminga is the perfect guy to fill that role.
Yeah, and what they're going to say publicly is not always going to match how they feel in private, but the reality is, and not that the Warriors are purposely trying to keep his value down, but the Warriors do also have a little bit of an interest in every dollar matters, and the Warriors, if they can sign Kuminga for 25 instead of 30, then they're going to do that, and that might help them elsewhere. But as far as the Kuminga conversation goes, and like, for example, relate it back to the here and the now and the role that the Warriors are trying to get him to fit into and to have it be seamless and to have him help the team come the end of the regular season and into the postseason, what I also can't help but think about is how easily someone like Moody filled in and started playing in the role that it was asked of him and doing a great job of it. Pajemski has been able to do that. When Trace was asked to do it, he did a pretty good job of it. Quinn Post asked to fill his role, and he did it immediately. Now, the part with Kuminga that's different than those others is like the burden of expectation.
Sure.
And you're a top 10 pick, and you're the best athlete on the roster by a mile. But there also comes a point where you say, hey, JK, I mean, Look at what Moses is doing. He's doing exactly what we're asking. And this isn't that Kuminga hasn't been doing it, but if a situation arises where the Warriors feel like he's not doing exactly what the team needs of him, they're going to point to Moses Moody, and that could be something that leads to the decision the Warriors make about his future. Whether it is a sign and trade this offseason, or it's only being willing to pay him $20 or $25 million a year,
yeah.
And Kuminga saying, you know what, I'll go to a terrible team like the Nets because they're going to pay me $5 million more, like that might be what it ultimately comes to. But there will be a moment where the Warriors have to make that decision, and all they have left to make that decision is the next 13 games and whatever happens in the postseason.
Exactly right, yeah. Willard and Grandy. Grandy's in for Dibs. I do think Dibs is going to give us a call live from Vegas here in about 15 minutes.
It means he's still standing. That's good.
Well, no, it doesn't. You can make phone calls laying down.
That's true. It means he's still conscious.
Well, or someone got his phone and his text on his behalf. I really don't know, but we're going to find these things out in about 15 minutes. We're taking your calls at 888-957-9570. Want to reveal to the audience also, by the way, this Hoop Central poll with regard to how each fan base feels about the future and the six options that we gave everybody, where the current voting stands as far as the Warriors fan base. And if you're just joining us, the question is, how do you feel about the Warriors' future or any NBA team, whoever you root for? How do you feel about your team's future? And the options were great, good, okay, unsure, bad, or awful.
Okay.
What do you think the Warrior fan base voted?
One of the two in the middle, either okay or unsure.
What would you vote?
I'd probably vote okay. So on the top half of the middle.
Okay. That is the answer.
Oh, okay.
The answer was okay. And maybe this is my nature, or maybe I have a point. Let's find out. I want to know why the answer is not good. I understand why it's not great. Your stars have all had their 35th birthday. But after that, to me, it kind of goes to organizational structure. And to me, you get the word great if you can already look at who your people are down the road, which is why the teams that got the answer of great are teams like Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And even though they're terrible right now, San Antonio.
Yep.
They can look at their future and go, okay, I get it. The Cavs, that fan base feels great. The Lakers voted great because they now have Luka. The Pistons fan base voted great. I don't think that that would be the answer that I would give, but when I look at least two more years of the current crop, and not just Kuminga, young players like Pods and Moody and Post and beyond, the organizational structure that is in place, an owner who is constantly willing to spend, I don't know why you don't get the answer of good.
I get the trust in the organization and the track record and what they've proven, and that's why I chose okay versus unsure. But when you don't have like the future piece that you think might carry you into the future, I can't go anything better than okay, because I could have all the faith in the world in the organization that they're going to make smart basketball decisions, or that they're going to be doing everything possible, including spending an exorbitant amount of money to build a winner, and that could all be true and accurate. The bottom line is you just have to be able to get talent in here. Like, the Warriors lucked out by drafting Steph Curry. Like, that wasn't through any incredible decision or...
I don't think that's fair.
And this was an entirely different organization back then, too, but...
Right, like, I mean, you can certainly argue that anytime something works out, Brock Purdy, Steph Curry, the Jimmy Butler trade, you tried to get Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it didn't work.
You can argue that you lucked out to a degree. Then again, I don't think it's fair if we're going to criticize teams for their misses, you don't get to dismiss their wins.
Well, it's not
like
not
they scouted Steph, they liked the pick.
Yeah, I hear you.
And they went with the pick.
It's not,
and then they developed the pick. You get credit.
It's not that picking Steph was lucky. It's that the T-Wolves passed on Steph twice.
Yes.
And that he fell to. You took advantage of that luck. You took advantage of it. The other half of this is Steph's ankle issues led to a suppressed contract, which allowed you to build the dynasty that we know, that built the stadium we're sitting right next to.
Iguodala and Durant are never here without ankle injuries.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's flat out true. So, you know.
I get the faith in the organization, and I feel that with you. I believe that, I think if you were to poll Warrior fans, or you would poll people at our radio station, or whoever, our loyal listeners, our P1s, everyone on the YouTube chat, I would come out in the top half in terms of my faith in Joe Lacob, in Mike Dunleavy, in Steve Kerr, in all the decision makers. I think especially before the Jimmy Butler trade, there was a lot of doubt in the fan base.
No doubt.
Everyone in the front office. And I never really wavered there. So I feel you there. But without a set person or piece that I can distinctly point to as, I believe that is a guy who can be the face of the franchise, not just a guy, but the guy in the future. I can't feel good about the future unless I feel pretty confident that that guy is already on the roster.
Right, although how many teams have that? How many teams
the ones
right
that feel
now?
Great, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, even them. Like, the Cavs feel great. Okay, you're an awesome team, but do you have a championship one? Do you?
No.
Probably not.
No.
Okay. Oklahoma City, do you?
Yes.
Probably.
You do.
I don't know what Shea's going to do in the playoffs. Just because you lead the league in scoring, your name could be LaMelo Ball. I don't know. You have to do it.
I hear you, but Shea is a bona fide one.
He's awesome. Yes. He's a bona fide one.
I feel great about my organization as long as I have Shea.
All right, the Spurs feel great.
Yes, because you have Wemby.
Which has done what so far?
He's in his second year, he didn't even finish his second
year. The Lakers feel great.
Yes, because they have Luka.
Okay, the Pistons feel great.
Cade Cunningham is a legitimate superstar, yes.
And I'm agreeing with you. However, all of these things that you're saying definitively actually also take a leap of faith, which I would argue is all that
way less of a leap of faith than saying it about Kuminga or Moody or Pods.
No. My point is that dude is not on the roster yet, but the faith that you're showing is that the Warriors will be able to get him. And the Warriors are in position, unlike many NBA franchises, to get people like that. Sacramento doesn't get to do that, ever, unless they draft him and keep him.
Yeah.
Which they have shown for them is very hard to do.
What did Kings fans vote as their future?
That's a good question.
Probably unsure.
The Kings, I would bet it's way worse than that, but let me see if I can find them. I can't find the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, there they are.
Yeah.
That's what I would have voted if I were them.
So part of a lot of this, if you feel great, you have a young, budding superstar on your roster. That's essentially what it is.
Probably.
Maybe the one case where that's not true is the Wizards.
I mean,
Wizards fans feel great.
And so do the Rockets. I don't think they've got anybody who looks like a championship one.
They're kind of like the Cavs. They're the one piece away from legitimately being, the Cavs are great this year.
I think the Cavs have even better individuals than the Rockets. I hear you. I just, they've got good young players, but I don't see anybody on there that's going to be that dude. And that is a characteristic of almost every NBA championship team, is there's a dude. And that's my question about the Cavs this year. Who's your dude? Donovan Mitchell gets into an NBA street fight with Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah, no.
Who comes out alive?
Tatum.
Yeah. So that may well be a problem for Cleveland. Let's go to Christian in Fairfield here. Willard and Dibs, Grandy's in for Dibs. We're live at Splash. Hey, Christian, thank you for the call.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
I think the Warriors are good. I agree with you, Willard. I don't know why people are saying okay. I think they're in good shape with the future. It's obvious Kuminga's only deficiency is his defensive rotation, and we want him to rebound more, but he's not really deficient in rebounding. So once he learns that, he's going to be like Jaylen Brown, 22 points a game, 6 rebounds, good on defense, and he's in a position now to learn more from Jimmy and Draymond. Jimmy Moore talks, Draymond Moore barks, and that's good, because Draymond already said he can't really bark at Kuminga. So I think Kuminga's in a good spot and the fans got to stop focusing on the scoring more, focusing on it isn't Kerr why he's not playing, it's Kuminga why he's not playing. That's his the other mark, sorry, I forgot his last name, pointed out Kuminga earlier. He's the freak athlete that every coach wants, that he just has to learn the game. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes they don't get it, but he is intelligent. I think Kuminga's going to get it. So I think the future is good. We got two bona fide NBA starters in Todd and Kuminga. I think Post, once he gains weight and keeps figuring out how to use the angles on defense to stop the guards from going around him, he's a starter. So I don't see why we people are saying okay. And I think we just got to let Kuminga play. Just let him play, and he'll play. Either he'll play himself into Jaylen Brown, or he'll be Darius Miles, and that's that. Thank you.
Those are interesting comps. Christian, thanks. You might be even more optimistic than me, because Christian seemed to answer the question based on who is already on the roster.
Yeah.
I'm kind of answering it based on who's not already on the roster.
Faith.
I agree that Kuminga is a piece. Pods is a piece. Post is a piece. Moody is a piece. But I also think that if you actually think the Warriors are going to be good someday beyond Steph and Jimmy and Draymond, then there are star-level players who are not yet on the roster. I just think the Warriors, based on where they play, who they are, and who their owner is, they are more than likely to get their hands on those players going forward.
Joe Lacob has said that that's the plan.
Has to be.
When everyone else is out of here and you've got an open checkbook, try to attract the next youngest best star.
Yeah, and you start that process before they go, even.
Yeah.
I mean, that process is constantly ongoing.
But the whole question has always been, well, are the Warriors attractive to others because they're the Warriors and because they've got this fancy new building and they're in San Francisco and the weather is awesome, or are the Warriors attractive because Steph Curry has been here?
We're going to find out, and that can be a different answer sometimes based on who's there and who you're talking to. You know what I mean? Like, there's two more drafts before Steph Curry is going to leave. What do the Warriors do in those? I know they don't have a first-round pick now next year, but, you know, who else do they sign? Does it look like a team that a star could join and win right away? But then sometimes you get a star to listen to your pitch, and that star just really likes it and believes in a vision. This is what Willy Adames just did with the Giants, right? I mean, nobody would look at the Giants right now and be like, I think they're going to win the West. But something would said to Willie that made him believe that this is the place to spend the rest of his career. It's all it takes. It's all it takes is one. And I don't know if he's going to be a superstar or a great player or whatever. He's a very, very good player. And whatever Buster was selling, he bought it.
Yeah, but let's say, I don't know who Willy Adames' NBA
comp
equivalent is, but I mean,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, okay, so let's say you had the promise of a Donovan Mitchell in the future. You had Donovan Mitchell, a rookie, this year, and you knew that he was going to become what he is today. Is that enough to make you feel good about the future of the Warriors?
Well, I mean, that and then beyond. I mean, the way I look at it is I'm a big fan of Mike Dunleavy, so you've got a GM that is smart. You have an owner who is aggressive and willing to do whatever it takes to win. You have a brand new arena. You have a major market. And you have some pieces on the team already in the building. The rest of that is going on faith. And that's why I didn't say great. I just said good. Like, to me, that's the scenario that leads to good.
How do you think Nuggets fans voted for how they feel? I have the answer, but how do you think they voted for the future of their franchise? Because they're like, they're on a similar path as the Warriors are, just maybe like 5 years.
They probably voted
younger.
The same. I bet they voted okay.
They did vote okay.
Yeah.
Feels like it should be good.
Well, I mean look.
You've got a championship core, and they are all considerably younger than the Warriors championship
core. They're considerably younger, but they are, like, has Jokic had his 30th birthday yet?
I think he just turned 30.
Yeah, like, he's going to, like, this is going to turn soon. They're also coming off of a year where they bowed out in Game 7 on their own floor, so I can bet that fans are kind of like, wait a minute, you know, what was that? And now you're a year older, other things are happening in the West that are pushing you down.
Yeah.
People look at Denver and go, ooh, they're really good. A fan might be like, dude, somebody's 12 and a half games in front of us in the standings right now. So, and we're older than them. So I can get why they would feel just okay right now. Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. Hey, Bobby, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I guess the thing with JK is I feel like you, with all your callers, everyone's a fan of the team, right, versus the player. So everyone's just like, hey, just play your role, be a role player. Just do what you have to do, play your 20 minutes, and then everything's going to work out, because that is what's most or least disruptive to the team. But what I feel like people aren't being fair about is what is the best for JK. I think one thing with these, the fact that good teams, you know, maybe get high draft picks is the players don't get to develop. So if he was on a terrible team and he was a high lottery pick, then he'd have a chance to make all these mistakes, and he doesn't have the luxury to do that. So, of course, all the fans are going to call and say, hey, let's give him a Moses Moody $15 million a year contract. That's not what JK wants, and I don't feel like people are really being fair to what he needs to worry about, which is himself. You know, what's going to make him $30 million a year? And so I think he's in a tough position, and I just don't think fans really care about the player because they only want to care about the team's success. Now, that being said, he is in a tough position this year because while he might have been the 2, you know, maybe 2A, 2B with Wiggins, 4, now he's definitely the number 3 option. And he knows if he screws around, now Draymond and Jimmy Butler are both going to be on him. So he is in a tough position. And then the fact is, I don't believe the Warriors would reward him with a high contract. I don't think they'd give him $30 million because he's not like the piece that gets him over the edge. Like, you know, when we gave Oubre whatever it was, $8 million or whatever it was, but then Lakeup had to pay like $24 million or something in extra luxury tax. So that dude cost like $40 million a year when he was getting $8 million. They're not going to do that.
It was actually a lot more than that, Bobby. And I listen, sure. Thanks so much. I think you're making some really, really good points, but here's what pops to mind when you say them. It's that age-old question that everybody gets asked in those magazine polls and different things like that. Would you rather be a great player on a bad team or just an okay player on a really good team?
Yeah.
Like, Bobby, I think you make great points, but I also think you're putting thoughts in Kuminga's head that I don't know if they're true. You know, to say that Kuminga's priorities are, oh, we've got to get every dollar. Maybe. Some guys are wired that way, but I bet there are players out there, and we've seen it in the past, who would rather make $30 million on a great team than $40 million and play for the Wizards. Like, I don't know. I don't know yet how Jonathan is wired.
Yeah.
And so that's still to be revealed.
I also think Bobby is right when, and I'm generalizing, but when talking about how fans in general feel about Kuminga, in terms of, you know, maybe not necessarily fully understanding the difficult situation that he's in, and I think Bobby is 100% right. I feel the same exact way as Bobby. What the reality is, and the reality is unfortunate for Kuminga, or really for any player in a similar situation to him, this is a business, and the organization feels absolutely zero responsibility to do what they feel is fair
None.
To Kuminga.
None.
And that's not how you run a successful franchise.
No, and actually, I might even push back a little bit on the idea of them acting that way is not fair to Kuminga, or them thinking about what's fair to Kuminga. What's fair kind of works itself out. It really does. Like, you get paid to play basketball, and this is what we have to offer, and you can either take it or leave it. Jonathan can be a free agent someday if that's what he wants to be.
He'll be one this offseason.
Yeah,
he's restricted,
but he doesn't have to do anything. He can sit and wait and do whatever if he wants. And so I don't know. I don't necessarily see all these things. I know people say, oh, this ended up being a bad spot for Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not convinced about that at all. He's getting to learn under some really, really good players and be a part of some special seasons, even though it may not be maximizing every single dollar.
The other thing, and maybe it doesn't mean a ton to him now, but it will probably mean a lot to him when his career is over. Go ask Wagner how many rings he has. Go ask Jalen Green how many rings he has.
Right.
Go ask Cade Cunningham how many rings he has. Kuminga has one. I know he didn't really do a ton in that postseason, but he's got a ring. That's got to be meaningful for something.
Yeah, like I wonder if you really got Jonathan in a private space. You mean like you wish you were somewhere else? I don't get the feeling.
Like from the jump,
say,
drafted somewhere else.
Yeah.
Drafted to a bad team so you could play 30 minutes a night from the jump.
Right.
Maybe it would have averaged 22 points per game at some point by now.
Maybe
you would have gotten a big bag already.
Yeah.
But you would have won 40% of your games in your career.
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Tomas in San Jose. Hey, Tomas, what's going on?
Hey, hey, Mark and Mark, a.k.a. Marky Mark, thanks for taking my call.
thanks for calling.
I'm representing Hot Boys of San Jose, and I just want to say this is a callback to Tuesday's show that effort against Milwaukee was I give that a five-star review, five-star Yelp review. TJD was back in action, BP finding his stroke from behind the arc. I think this team doesn't just have a good balance. It has a great balance of youth and experience. Shout out to Dunleavy for making the best of a tough situation, really, that he inherited. Jimmy's hot. Moses Moody's hot. QP is hot. The Boers are hot. And I think it's about to be a hot boys summer this summer.
Tomas, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, you know what? And here's something I'm looking for tonight. I don't know if the Warriors are hot. I really don't. They might just be really, really good.
Well, I mean, I started the show off with this. I think they have the most room to grow out of any legitimate playoff team in the Western Conference. I don't think that they have reached anywhere near their peak. I know Steph has been playing awesome basketball, and Draymond has been playing awesome basketball, but that's oftentimes what those guys do this time of year. Once it gets to, like, all right, time to really turn it on, that's kind of what these guys do, and when they get to April and they're in postseason series, that's when they tend to be at their best. I don't think Jimmy Butler is anywhere near playoff Jimmy, right? Like, Tuesday was the most playoff Jimmy kind of game we've seen from him, where you felt like he was just like, all right, I'll will us here. I'll score 9 points in a row, where he did at one point spanning the third and fourth quarters. The Warriors won that game with an 8-0 run down the stretch. They all came off of Jimmy. One of them was a Jimmy hockey assist, but a Jimmy hockey assist and two Jimmy assists. Like, everything was through Jimmy. That was the most playoff Jimmy that we've seen, but that wasn't full playoff Jimmy. Like, he has another level to get to. And then the thing that we've been talking about for the last hour and a half about Jonathan Kuminga, as he continues to get his feet under him again, and hopefully, despite my maybe personal questions, hopefully figures it out and settles into the role the Warriors are asking of him, that's only going to make the Warriors better. And if they avoid the play-in and they get a week off leading up to their first postseason series, they're going to be fresh and rejuvenated and ready to take on whoever they meet in the first round. I think they have so much room to improve. So I wouldn't say that they're necessarily like hot. I mean, they're hot. They're playing well. But it's not like this is the best that I think that they could be going forward.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. And I, like, to me, there are characteristics of hot that I don't see. Characteristics of hot are when ball's bouncing your way, you're getting kind of a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there are people who look back on the 107 wins for the Giants and be like, dude, they're kind of hot all year. They were hot. They got weird stuff happening. They're hitting home runs in the ninth inning constantly. Balls are bouncing off other people's gloves at the right time. I don't see that with the Warriors. I see fairly, not totally, but fairly consistent production on almost all nights.
Yeah.
And it's led to winning most of the games. All right, let's go live out to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Woo!
Standing by is our correspondent on the scene, checking out Sports Books and Sapporos, right in the middle of all of the college basketball madness. It's none other than the great Dan Dibley.
Yay!
Hello, hello, Dibs.
Oh, boys, what's going on? I'm so sorry that I was a little bit late to the phone, but man, we are knee-deep in what's going on here, and boy, I'm so glad I missed the morning wave because, man, I would not have done well.
I was about to say, Dibs, when we sort of said, give us a bud at 5:30, and then it was 5:34, and I'm like, oh,
uh-oh.
Oh, he's had a lot of drinks.
Well, it's not so much the drinks, but, you know, you make a lot of friends out here, and I want to shout out the great people of the Arizona Corrections Prison Institution, because I met about three corrections officers, and then, yeah, we had drinks, and then they Googled me, and they found out that I'm kind of a big deal thanks to you, Mark Miller. And so okay. I was a little bit late. I mean, the paparazzi is getting a little crazy here, and, man, we're double fisting high noons. We are, yeah, baby, let's go, high noons. Let's do this. We're on Drake. Dude, it is an absolute Thursday afternoon party here.
How are the picks going?
The picks are good. We like Arkansas. Arkansas's got a lead late. We're on Drake. And, I'm sorry about that. I bumped into somebody much bigger than me. We like Tennessee, but Tennessee needs to get, they need to get moving now.
Even though we've been alive.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it'd be okay if Tennessee hit a three. That'd be nice.
Was that a live reaction to a missed three that we just heard when you yelled?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's off Wofford. That's our ball. That's our ball.
Hey, Dibs, for games that haven't started just yet, what do you like? What are you laying down as you approach the table to put a bet in?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and bet against sobriety. I'm gonna take sobriety and lay the 12.5. I'm sorry, Grandy. I know you're a straight shooter. I gotta pull out my bracket. I love Utah State, Grandy.
Okay.
I love Utah State, and St. John's is gonna hammer Peyton Manning. Omaha! Omaha! We love St. John's. We love Utah State. And remember, for you kids out there, advice from Dibber Claus to you, mix in a water. That's all.
Okay. All right. What time did you arrive?
I arrived at 1:30.
Oh, I'm okay.
Yeah, the bartender's trying to continue to serve me. By 1:33... I was locked in. Why are you shooting that? That's a 40-footer.
All right, so,
terrible.
So this is what like, you sound like after only 4 hours.
Yes, of course. The section's open.
All right.
Dude, Bruce Pearl, control your young people.
Yeah.
Control your team. Oh, my God, dude.
Hey, Dibs, be safe and have a good time, okay?
I'm sorry, I lost you. I'm betting on the horses at Aqueduct. And one! That's an and one!
All right, hang up on him. That's hang up
get
on
home
him.
Safe,
that's enough
Jim.
Of that. Holy crap. That's what he sounds like 4 hours in? He's only been there for 4 hours!
He is an efficient drinker. We'll
Holy
just put it
crap.
That way.
I mean, I know he's a small man, but Jesus. How many drinks did that sound like to you?
He told us he was double fisting high noons. He's probably been doing that for 4 hours.
Oh my God.
You better be careful.
Wow. That was impressive?
That's one word for it.
Question mark? Question mark? should we have done that?
We have two recent texts from the same person 6 minutes apart. The 262, has Dibs called yet? His next text, this is classic.
Yeah, that's one word for it. Dibs was not half in the bag. That was well above 50%.
See you Monday, Dibs.
All right,
hopefully.
We're getting close to Warriors Live. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car, unless your name is Dibs, while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at Bay Area, oilchange.com. All vehicle types are welcome. This is Willard and Dibs.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.